Wonderful. You ought to have them both on.
Explain that we're going to have the whole crew on next.
Wonderful.
In 2 weeks.
Great.
Also, just a quick announcement, the Chesuncook Lake Salmon Derby is taking place Memorial Weekend. This is kind of interesting, Bob. I don't know if you've followed this.
I have not.
But they're having trouble. They're having trouble at Chesuncook Lake with too many darn salmon.
Oh, that's a shame.
And no kidding. Yeah. They have so many young salmon. They've had there's been a precipitous decline in fishing activity.
Oh boy.
At this lake and some others. And I also heard they're also having the same thing at Ziskahas Lake.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're opening it up to unlimited, I say that again, unlimited catching of salmon below 16 inches. In other words, you can keep as many salmon as you can catch below 16 inches at Chesuncook Lake.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Wow.
That is something. And, even like a little 6-incher, who would want a 6-inch salmon?
Well, they want you to keep them and kill them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're trying to grow the salmon, and there just is not enough forage base for so many fish. So anyway, what they're having is a big derby up there on Memorial Weekend, the 27th, 28th, and they have a $500 prize to the person who catches the largest salmon.
Yes, sir.
At the Chesuncook Derby. And let's see, how do you sign up for that? Good question.
Yeah.
They don't tell me here in the press release. Well, for lack of a better thing, give Tim Obrey a call. He's the fisheries biologist up there in Greenville. He can tell you how to sign up for that. The Chesuncook Fishing Derby, May 27th, 28th, at the Chesuncook Lake. I guess it also includes Ripogenus Lake, and there's one more there attached to that chain. Which one is it? Caribou Lake. Caribou Lake, Chesuncook, and Ripogenus. Big derby up there, Memorial Weekend, so check that out. Our fishing report time, I think, isn't it? Norm looks so serious now, doesn't he? Oh, who's that bewhiskered guy? The Kenny Rogers lookalike. He's back.
Yeah.
Scotty Bates is back.
Yeah.
Nice to have you back, Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, he's looking good, too. You got a little suntan down there in Florida. You're looking good, Scotty.
Yeah.
You're starting to lose yours.
My clock's off an hour. I thought it was 6 o'clock, and I'm driving in, and the show's going on the air. So.
Well, synchronize your watch there, Scotty.
You're starting to lose your suntan a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting pale. And hey, look, what's going on in the fishing world?
Well, actually, the smelts are running, but they've been awful slow this year. I suppose, you know, the water's high, and it's cool and all that stuff, but they're starting to come a little bit. And at GLS, do you know how much water they're running at Grand Lake Stream right now? 2 days ago.
800.
800. That was last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
1,000?
Right, try again.
Oh, 900.
1,600 cubic feet per second.
My goodness, that's a flood.
Well, a lot of that, you know, is coming from up around Patton and below.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's because they had a lot of snow melt up there.
Yeah.
So. And of course, the woolly buggers are going to have a hard time catching the salmon. Looks like maybe next week, but you got a whole week to get prepared, and maybe the water will come down a lot. We hope so.
I don't think I would dare to wade in water like that.
No, I don't.
No,
no way.
I don't think I want to end it that way.
And I want to talk a little bit about trolling lakes for landlocks, right?
Okay,
now. Landlocked salmon.
All right.
And I've been talking with some of the veterans around.
Yep.
And right now is the time to go. No question about it. The water is high in lakes, but it's perfect. Water temperature is good. A lot of the lakes in the central Maine area are clearing out, and this is the time to go get them. Now, you want to look for smelts, as I said earlier, smelts are starting to run. So look for your inlets where the smelts might very well run, or the ones that they know are going to have smelt in them. And fish off the mouths of those, say, out at maybe 1,000 feet or so, anyway, 1,000 yards, and stay out above them and go back and forth. And if you get a strike, stay there. Don't move. Turn around and go right back over that spot again. You know that. That's cardinal rule, right?
Right.
You know, because they travel around in schools. So if you troll for hours, you hit nothing, but suddenly you get a strike, turn around and go back over that
spot
again.
Yeah.
You bet. Absolutely.
Do a little zigzag there.
Absolutely.
Change your speed.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Change your speed.
The whole thing.
Is good.
Yeah.
If you use lures, a couple of the better lures to use is, I like the Daredevil Flutter lure is a good one. Of course, you can't go wrong with a boost look. Copper's the one.
Yep.
And the new one that's been hot lately has been the D&B lure. And you can find that at all kinds of sports shops these days. It's a high seller, and it's a real good salmon trolling lure, along with a daredevil. And also for flies, your Rochelle is that Paul has there tonight. That's a cocker. And, of course, the Grey Ghost and the Marabou Grey Ghost is also good.
That's darker than I thought it would be.
Yeah, well, they are dark. Nice looking fly, yeah. Sometimes black works really good.
Yeah.
So if you're going to work your flies, it's a good idea to work your line, too. You know, change your speeds and give the fly a little jerk every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, pump the rod a little bit.
Pump the rod. Oh, that's it's just like you were casting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and work it in. And when you same thing when you let out a lure, you should adjust your trolling speed and get the same action on your lure as you do when you're trolling. Take a look at it right beside the boat, and you get your right action on your trolling lure that you want, and then make sure your speed is adjusted just to that.
You bet.
And that about concludes my tips for tonight.
Okay, good report. Appreciate
that.
A lot of information there.
All right.
Our guests, if you joined us late again, are Melanie Collins and Bob Winginick from the VZ Salmon Club, and we'll be talking to them momentarily. First, we have to dispose of a trivia question, and Bob Winginick has agreed to read the outdoor trivia question to you and judge the veracity of your answer. And if you get the right answer, by the way, it's the first of the month. You know what that means? We're going to be able to give you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal.
Ah.
And we only do this once a month. It's the first of the month.
Yeah.
So you're in luck. You'll get a $30 subscription if you can answer Bob Winginick's question.
Name a catadromous fish is one that is born and lives in fresh water but migrates to the sea to spawn. So name a catadromous fish in the Penobscot River watershed.
Okay, I learned this new word today. Catadromous.
Yeah, it's not anadromous, but
no, it's catadromous.
Right.
We'll talk about that right after the break. You stay with us.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, AM 1450 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
They give the name to your...
Yeah. Okay, we're back with our guest tonight on Maine Outdoors. And again, our telephone number, Bob Lehman, if you want to call in and ask a question of either Melanie or Bob Winginick, is...
1-800-966-1039. You have to dial the whole number now, even if you're local.
Okay, and we have two callers standing by
who
are going to try to answer this very difficult question that Mr. Winginick put to you just a few minutes ago. If you have the right answer, I'm going to give you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal, the only one we're going to give away this month. And good evening, caller. Are you there? We have a caller standing by, right, engineer?
We do. I'm not sure why he's not hearing you.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Are you there, sir? Ma'am. Push the button.
We got two callers.
Well, we got three engineers in there. We ought to be able to get...
Go for it. We got a different caller now.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Are you there?
I got to turn down your radio.
I think...
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
turn down your radio so you won't get an echo, echo, echo.
echo.
What do you think the answer is, and what's your first name?
My name is Ed.
Okay, Ed, what do you think the answer is?
Well, back in the day, I was called a poor man salmon, C-Run Brown.
A C-Run Brown. Well, check with Judge Winginick. Is that right, Bob?
No, that's not correct.
That's not the correct answer.
Holy moly, I can't believe I missed that.
but you got a nice echo anyway, Ed. We appreciate you calling in. All right.
Thank you.
That's not the right answer. Now, put your thinking cap on. This is a pretty big multisyllabic word, this catadromous. I had to get Bob Lehman to explain it to me, but it's a fish that is born in fresh water, lives in fresh water, but makes a run out to sea to do the spawning activity, which is just the opposite, of course, of an Atlantic salmon. Right, Melanie?
Yes, right.
So it's a little bit different, and we want you to tell us what catadromous fish in the Penobscot River. Name that fish. Do we have another caller standing by, Norm?
Try that. There's a line still open, but I don't know if he's still there.
Are you there, caller?
Apparently not. I got another one coming in.
Okay, let's take the other one.
They have to go to the Bering Sea to spawn.
The Bering Sea?
I think so.
They do.
I think so.
This particular species we're going to talk about?
Yes.
Don't mention it, though.
Okay.
Don't give it away. Okay, good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Are you there? Good evening,
she
caller.
She is there.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hi. Is it salmon?
Say again?
Salmon.
Salmon. You say salmon? Yes. Judge Wingenek, is that's not the right answer, is it?
No, salmon is not a catadromous. That's an anadromous.
It's a salmon is an anadromous fish. That would mean it's a fish that lives in the sea but comes up to fresh water to spawn. But this one does just the opposite. This is just the opposite. And I'll give you a hint. It's a slimy little thing.
Okay, I'll tell my aunt that, because she's the one that gave me the answer.
Oh, she did.
Great.
Well, slap her wrist, because she's wrong. Okay. But no, we appreciate your call. And it's
okay.
Where are you calling from?
Solon.
From Solon. Oh, it's so great to have you up. We don't get that many calls from Solon. Thank you for your participation, and we hope you continue to listen to the show.
Thank you. We will.
Thank you. Bye. Yep, bye-bye. All right. We're getting a little closer, though.
We're getting
a little closer. Let's take another call. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Bob Wingenek and Melanie Collins. What do you think the answer is?
Well, I'm going to try sturgeon.
You say a sturgeon. Bob Wingenek, is that the right answer?
No, that's not correct. Sorry.
A sturgeon is an anadromous fish, right?
That is correct. Atlantic sturgeon? Yes.
Nice try, though. We appreciate the call. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from beautiful New Vineyard, Maine.
No, New Vineyard.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, do you know Bill Pierce that lives up there?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, Bill's a nice guy and a character, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not the right answer. You know the difference between an anadromous fish and a catadromous fish?
Well, actually, I'm not familiar at all with either of those two words. I'm thinking one that breeds in one place and travels out, kind of like the eels or something like that.
Ooh. You're getting pretty close. What do you think?
Kind of like, the Elvis, they all went and, made $1 million on there.
Yeah.
You're getting close. He's very close. Say it.
I think we got a winner. I think it was by accident, purely that kind of luck. But I think you're right. What's your first name, sir?
My name is Ed, and I'm calling from New Vineyard once again.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Ed. I'm an old guy. My recall's not so good. Anyway,
no younger neither.
Yeah. All right. You won a year's subscription to the Northwood Journal worth about $30, and. Did you know you had the right answer there on the tip of your tongue?
Well, it was kind of a wild guess.
Yeah. Well, whatever works, right, Ed?
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations to you. It is the American eel, and it is a catadromous fish. And this is a big word I learned today. And Bob Wingenek, who's a biologist, explained to us that it's just the opposite of a salmon. Instead of living in the sea and then traveling to freshwater to spawn, they do just the opposite. And that is the American eel, which is one of the many species you'll find in the Penobscot River. And again, congratulations to you, Ed, up there in New Vineyard. You stay on the line, and Norm will get your address, and we'll make sure you get a subscription, okay?
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir, for listening.
Love your program.
Okay, glad to hear that, Ed. Take care. All right, it is the American eel. And be honest, Bob. Did you know, Bob Lehman, did you know what a catadromous fish was?
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
I know anadromous, but not catadromous.
Yeah. Well, I knew that, and I also, but I get confused between anadromous and diadromous. Is that how you say it? What's a diadromous fish? Oh, Melanie, do you know?
Diadromous?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
Oh. Okay.
Do you know what?
You need some more. Did Bob get
some
water?
You know where the elvis are born?
No.
Sargasso Sea.
Oh, I knew that. Yes.
I knew that. Bob had to fill me in during the break.
I knew that. I knew that. Okay. You okay, Bob? All right. He's got a drink of water there. He's going to explain to us the difference between an anadromous fish and a diadromous fish. Now, a diadromous fish would be an alewife, right?
Yes.
Okay. And an Atlantic salmon is an anadromous fish. Anyway, we got that.
That's correct.
We got that all straight, right?
All right.
All right. Let's talk a little bit now about the VZ Salmon Club. I think it was might have been as long ago as a month ago. Was it a month ago, Melanie?
Approximately, yes.
A month ago.
Yeah.
I got an email from Galen Hashey, who's kind of the mother hen of the VZ Salmon Club.
One of the founders.
One of the founders. And in it said that, well, it looks like the VZ Salmon Club is no longer going to be vibrant. Looks like it's had it. And a lot of people got kind of upset about that because it has a colorful history, has a legacy. It's been there for years. It's been a wonderful club during the heyday of salmon fishing on the Penobscot River. And so I heard that. And then I got an email from your friend Jimmy. And how do you pronounce his last name?
Matarazzo.
Matarazzo. And he had kind of a dream and a plan to try to keep the whole thing together. And we're going to pursue that, how you guys are going to bring this club back online right after the break. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors. Yes, sir.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, AM 1450 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
Okay, we're back with the Maine Outdoors. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I heard that the VZ Salmon Club was in its death throes, I took a drive up there. It was a rainy, dank gray day like they seem to have been for the past month. But I went up to the VZ Salmon Club, and I stood there, and I reflected back, and it was not that long ago that I remember being there and watching fishermen, fisherwomen queued up there to fish for those Atlantic salmon that were running up the river. And what a beautiful spot. VZ Salmon Club. Have you been there, Bob?
Oh, certainly have. All three clubs.
Yeah. You know how nice it is there. You get,
totally
you get
beautiful. Nice view of the river and everything.
A beautiful log building, well appointed. Yes. It overlooks the salmon bank, I mean the river bank.
Yep.
And there's some nice fish lies out in front there by the big rocks and everything. Yeah. And the mighty Penobscot is flowing down through there. And I get thinking about what a sad thing to see a club like this just disappear.
Yeah.
It has a history, it has a legacy, and I was so pleased to hear that there were some folks who cared enough to try to intervene to save this club. And two of the folks who are trying to do that right now are with us tonight, and I'm honored to have you here. We want to talk a little bit about, first I think we've talked a little bit about your plans to resurrect or revitalize, whatever the right word is, and I'm not sure what it is, and maybe talk a little bit too about the history of the club. The legacy, which is so important. Who wants to do this? Melanie, Bob?
I could start off. Okay. I think really it had its 40th anniversary April 8th. 18th. April 18th was the 40th anniversary. And the club was a very social place always, like a camp for the community. Everyone was welcome, all ages. It was a safe place for people to come and just have old-fashioned fun. You know, every age, it was about memories. Good friends, good times, great fish, you know. And
a lot of cribbage.
And a lot of cribbage.
My favorite game.
Yes, yes. it was a place, you could have a picnic, play cribbage, definitely. Yep. Banquets, breakfasts. The amazing thing to me about it, being a fairly newcomer, is the walls are covered with the history of the place, and the walls really do talk there.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Those were heady times, Bob, when the salmon were running up the river, and I remember I fished in front of all those different clubs over the time, and
the old double enders, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And. In fact, one time when I was at the Bangor Daily, Tom Hennessy and I went out in his little pea pod.
Oh, yeah.
Just above the pipeline.
Sure.
I think that's in front of the Eddington Club,
that's correct.
And it was about 4:30 in the morning. I hooked into about a...
They call it the rip tide or something. What do they call that? Riprap. Above the... That's right in front of the VZ Salmon Club.
Oh, that is in front of the VZ, but Paul's talking about
Eddington. Yeah,
the pipeline pool.
Yeah. Anyway, we're just above the pipeline pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom was kind of coaching me, guiding me a little bit and doing the rowing, keeping this pea pod in position. I hooked into about a 13-pound Atlantic salmon and managed to land it. And, and that was not my first Atlantic salmon, but it was the first on the Penobscot.
Yeah.
And what a thrill to be able to catch a fish like that within eye shot of Bangor.
Yeah.
That was the most incredible thing.
That's right.
You know, and people were coming from miles around to fish there. What a wonderful time that was.
Yeah.
And it's and the history that goes with it is worth remembering and saving. And I think VZ Salmon Club is part of that history, right, Bob Mujinik?
It's a very big part of the history because the VZ Salmon Club had its 40th anniversary. It was founded by some local people. Like Galen Hashey of Hashey's Fly Shop in VZ.
Yeah.
And three of the founders are still with us today, including Galen, Ray Stout, a retired Marine Corps person, and Richard Green, who winters in Florida, but he's back in the area now. But the history is absolutely incredible, not just the history for Atlantic salmon, but for a lot of other things as well. The history goes with several clubs in the Penobscot River, including the Penobscot Salmon Club in Bangor, which is the oldest salmon club.
And they're still alive, right?
They're still alive, but it's a different format.
Yeah.
And they're only open half the year because they are not insulated and so forth.
Okay.
Eddington Salmon Club, which is still alive. And now, of course, the Vizzy Club is, we're not trying to resurrect it. We did resurrect it.
You did.
It is alive and it's going to be well.
So it's not an if.
It's not an if anymore.
Okay.
We have all the bills are paid. We have a lot of new members in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And we have to move on from here. There's work to do, but it's not an if anymore.
Okay. So the club is very much alive.
Absolutely.
And you have, Bob, you're a director. And Melanie, you're the treasurer, right?
That's right.
Or secretary, treasurer.
Treasurer, yes.
Treasurer. And Jimmy
Matarazzo.
Matarazzo, who couldn't be with us tonight. He's the president.
That is correct.
Club. And so it has been saved, so to speak. Right?
Yeah, we have a full board of directors, and everything is going very, very well. New members coming in hourly.
All right, that is great. They have if you're ever over there to take a look at the VZ Salmon Club, they have a kind of a big bell on the porch.
Mm. Mm.
And back in the good old days, whenever somebody get a hookup, and that's they'd be with the salmon on, the bell would ring.
Yeah.
And I was when I was talking with Bob and Jimmy up there a week or so ago, interviewing them for a story that I'm going to do for the journal, he was mentioning the bell. And he said, that bell is going to ring again.
Yes.
And wouldn't that be wonderful if the salmon ever did come back?
Thanks for bringing it up, Paul. The bell is very significant because when one person was catching a fish on the river, one person would ring the bell on the porch, and then you'd have 20 to 30 people on the porch watching that person play the fish. So, and what should be considered is not one person is fishing, but 20 or 30 are fishing.
Oh, yeah.
They're all participating in that activity.
Oh, yeah, because it's a thrill.
Yes.
A big thrill. And so a lot of people just think it's about the person in the water, but many people could not even fish for salmon or didn't want to, but they enjoyed the sport of watching it happen.
Watching, yeah. Well, it's such an exciting thing. I mean, I've fished for all kinds of fish, and, you know, catching an Atlantic salmon on fly rod, I think, is probably about the ultimate, isn't it?
Oh,
would
sure
you say?
Is. It's a fish of 1,000 casts, they call it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's just great. Now, the salmon are still coming up the river.
Yes.
We can't fish them because the feds have declared them an endangered species, right?
That's correct.
Do you think that'll ever change?
Well, that will be worked on over time, but even though the salmon are not legally able to be harvested, and the rules are today, if you, by chance, hook an Atlantic salmon, you must release it as soon as possible and not take it out of the water, which is just common sense.
Yeah.
But what you can fish for are a lot of other fish species in front of the Vizzy Salmon Club and other, like the American shad. Most people don't know how to do that, but they're a very fishable fish. Striped bass. I go down and catch striped bass a lot. People say, well, there aren't that many there. No, there are a lot there.
There are.
And you can fish for shad and salmon with very similar gear that you would have had if you still own your Atlantic salmon gear. So just pinch the barbs down in case you cook an Atlantic salmon, but enjoy fishing for shads, stripers, bass.
Trout.
There are sea run trout in the Penobscot River.
So if you hooked up the term they use is incidental take, right? If you involved in an incidental take with an Atlantic salmon, as long as you release it legally, you're not in any trouble, right?
Well, incidental take is a technical term that means that you've killed it, and you don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's a term they use. A take is...
Okay.
Hooking it, not taking it from the water, that's why we recommend solidly a single hook, pinch down barb, just enjoy it. And if you catch a salmon, let it get off the hook as soon as possible. And there are ways to do that. And if you come to the VZ Salmon Club, become a member, we're going to talk about that with people.
Oh, that's great.
We're
going
to encourage all kinds of fishing out there.
Well, that is great.
We want to have classes, start up fly tying classes again, and other classes for education.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I fish for shad down in the – you ever fish for shad?
Yes, in the Narragansett.
Oh, they have them there.
Many,
I didn't know that.
Years ago. Oh, yeah. They've had – They have shad there for years and years and years. They probably had them in the Penobscot, but nobody So if they caught one, they probably didn't know what they had. They probably
they're kind of a poor man's salmon, and they're fun to catch.
They have special flies and everything for them.
Yeah, I've caught them on the down on the Deerfield River, which runs into the Connecticut River.
Absolutely, sure.
They're down in Massachusetts. Yeah. They love to fish for shad down there. Yeah. They're exciting.
I've caught them on the Delaware River, and there are poor man's salmon.
Yeah.
And you can use your old salmon flies or a Mickey Finn or a red and white or anything will catch a shad also. Right. You just got to fish it the same way, close to shore, get the fly down. But there are different techniques, and we're going to share those with people who want to come to the club.
Are there shad in the river now, Bob?
You know? They're in the river, okay? And the run will increase as time goes on. They're going to be responding to flow and temperature like all fish do. But they're there now, and as soon as the water goes down there, a bunch of us are going to be out in front of the salmon club fishing for shad. Yeah.
You know what there's fish that runs into the river that nobody talks about? Before the ice goes out sometimes.
Alewives?
Tommy cod.
Tommy cod.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
Is there? There's no picture of a tommy cod Is that a diadromous fish, tommy cod?
No, it's a nadromous fish.
Nadromous?
Yep. They're good to eat.
And the menhaden.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
They used to net them, put them in barrels, and sell them down the square.
There's a lot of fish.
Yes, they did.
Well, they salted them probably, didn't they?
They did salt them, that's right.
Well, that's exciting. So the bottom line is that even though the Atlantic salmon remains off limits, so to speak, there's plenty of other fish there to catch and have fun.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. But they ain't going to ring that bell, though, right?
Well,
until the salmon comes back.
there's talk about being a shad ringing bell.
Maybe you should get a smaller bell for the shad.
we'll come up with something.
Or a whistle or a siren or something, yeah. Think about that. We can work with that. I think I could think about
bell.
That.
Tinkle bell.
A tinkle bell. All right. Anyway, that's exciting news. Now, if somebody wants to join the VZ Salmon Club, how do they do that, Melanie?
Well, there's a couple ways that you can do that. You can go on down to the Salmon Club itself. It's at 30 Old County Road in VZ, Maine. You can pick up an application right there outside the door and just fill that out and put your check in and put it right through the slot there. Where would we have them leave it, Bob?
Well, they can either drop it off at Galen Hash's Fly Shop, the Old Town Trading Post.
Yes.
They can mail it in. And in the future, we will have an online way of doing it as well.
Yes. And also, if you're at a distance and you can't make it up to pick up an application, you can also get applications at Galen Hatchie's Fly Fishing Shop or the Old Town Trading Post. You can try to get through to us at least temporarily until we get everything set up with the website at vzsalmonclub@aol.com. And we are answering. You've got to be patient with us. We're looking for more people to help answer emails, but we can then mail you an application.
Okay, you'll have a website eventually?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm a recent member. I just joined tonight, as a matter of fact. What are some of the advantages of being a member of the VZ Salmon Club? I know you covered it a little bit, but what are some of the perks? I can go up and play cribbage, can I?
Absolutely. We are looking for people who are interested in cribbage to come up and start playing there. You can have a picnic. You can just sit on the porch and watch the river flowing. It's really, like I said, my hope is that we will have it has been in the past a camp for the community. You know, it's like a local camp.
Yeah.
It's so peaceful there. And you can play a game of cards, solitaire, relax.
What about events? You're going to plan some periodic events?
We're going to have monthly meetings like usual, like we used to have before.
Yeah.
There will be speakers on different subjects, not just Atlantic salmon.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on a lot of people, what their interests are. There's going to be picnics, breakfasts. Our club meetings will be dinner events. And there's a lot of things that people who are listening now may have thought of who were members before. A lot will be the same, but we're going to add a lot too, depending on the interest and the volunteers available to help us.
Okay.
We're planning on open house in mid to late July, and we may have more than one open house. So we're looking to do a kind of a big thing then.
Yeah, that's exciting. Mm. Yeah. I got to take a short break here to make a buck, okay? Just want to, again, if you have questions for either Bob or Wingenic or Melanie, you can call us at what number, Bob Lehman?
1-800-966-1039.
And we want to remind you that this program is sponsored in part every week by General Appliance and Brewer. It's Norm Plord's favorite place to go shopping for appliances. He doesn't care if it's a new appliance, a used appliance. It could be a range. It could be a refrigerator. They're just a great place to shop. Right, Norm?
It is, and especially if you need parts.
Or a compost toilet.
Yeah.
Right the way.
Now, and Scotty Bates shops over there, right, Scotty?
I sure do. And I got to get the hot water going up to camp here as soon as I can get there.
All right. And you know, go over there and talk to Al if you got a problem with your propane at camp.
He's helped me before.
He's helped me numbers of times, yeah. And Jim Layton, he shops there, right, Jim?
I sure do. I still got a washer and dryer up to camp that's been running for 20 years because of him.
How's that for a testimonial, huh?
Yes, terrific.
Even Bob Lehman shops over there.
We've got to go in there and check and see if he's got a supply of our books.
We'll have to do that.
Yes.
Anyway, General Appliance and Brewer, they stand behind everything they sell. They service everything they sell. Their prices are fair. General Appliance, and they're located at 91 Center Street. And if you can't find the place, Bob Lehman can show you how to get there.
Certainly will.
989-3714 is the number. 989-3714. I'm not kidding. This guy, Al Elkin, he's just the best, and he runs a great shop over there. And if you're in the market for a new or used appliance, doesn't matter if it's propane or electric, he's the guy to see. And if you'd like to try out one of those super duper compost toilets.
Ride the wave.
Well, you can't try it out over there, but you can look at it.
Well, you kind of can try it out.
Well, I don't want to get into that. Okay. All right. Anyway, General Appliance and Brewer, they may help make the show possible. We patronize them and urge you to do so. Okay, we have a caller who may have a question for Melanie or Bob and Jeanette. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hey there.
Hi there.
I haven't got a question about the salmon. I got a comment on something that was said earlier in the show.
Okay.
About the fishing derby up on Chesuncook.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
To me, they got the cat in front of the horse. All right? And yes, you're right. We got the same problem down here in western Maine on Siskahawse Lake.
Okay.
Right? They're going to have a derby up there, and they're going to pay the grand prizes for the largest fish. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the way I read it.
Okay, but they've put the regulation on the lake, no size of bag limit below 16 inches.
Right.
Correct? What is this derby going to do to help reduce the number of the small fish in that lake? What are people going to do? Continue to do what they've been doing right along, just throwing the small fish back, hoping to get a big one? Because that's what happened to Siskahawse. All right? Those lakes.
Well, yeah. No, wait. There's a flaw in your logic, if I may, with all due respect.
All right.
The flaw is that it doesn't matter if you catch 20 15-inch salmon. You can still catch a big one and catch it, and if you do have the biggest one, get the $500.
Why don't they have the biggest bag, the number of the smaller fish to catch?
Well,
if they want to reduce the number of small fish in that lake, but they're playing grand prize for the biggest fish caught. Hello?
Well, I guess he has a point.
Mm. Well, they'd have to keep them all, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would have to, yeah.
And that's the idea.
That's what they want them to do.
That's what they want you to do.
Well, people throwing back 15-inch fish.
Yeah.
We've had the law on Siskahawse Lake for 9 years.
I tell you what, are you going to go up there and fish?
No, I can go right here at Siskahawse. I don't have to go up there to fish.
What Bob Lehman and I always do is we have a dollar for the first fish, a dollar for the biggest fish, and a dollar for the most fish.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So how about I'll give you a dollar if you catch the most fish. That work?
Sure.
No.
And how many people are you going to do that to help reduce the small fish?
Yeah.
That's the intent. That's the intent up there as it is on Siskahawse.
Yeah. Do they have the same, there's the same plan going on for Siskahawse Lake, right? You can keep all the small salmon you want, right?
Below 15 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever eaten canned landlocked salmon?
Canned landlocked salmon. I think.
No.
Well, my mother, when I was a kid, my mother used to make salmon loaf once a week. And we used to have it once a week, and I got tired of it. But
that was Atlantic salmon.
Yeah, but she made a salmon loaf out of canned salmon. So what was your point?
Well, my point is that when you can landlocked salmon, other than the color, and you follow the Bob Blue Book of Canning recipe, you cannot tell the difference between the salmon that you buy off from Hannaford Shell or the canned stuff that you did yourself. So, and we've canned everything from pike to brook trout, togue, salmon. And you can't tell the difference.
Well, what does that have to do with what's that have to do with your Sun Cook? Maybe I'm missing something here. What does that have to do with
your
Sun?
I think you're missing the point.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, that we got way too many small fish up there, and they want to get rid of them. That's why they dropped that limit down to no size of bag limit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what incentive is there if you're having the prize be for the largest fish? What incentive there is to have these people?
Okay.
Get the biggest fish instead of the small fish.
Okay, well, you made your point. We've got to wrap it up. I appreciate your comment. You probably have a point. Maybe you should give Tim Obrey a buzz up there at the Greenville office. Maybe they could have an extra prize for $500 for the most fish. What the heck?
Well, they ought to.
Yeah, give them a call. Tim Obrey.
Catch and release is coming, bitten us right where we sit.
Yeah, you're right. I don't disagree with that one. Tim Obrey is the guy to talk with. He's the fisheries guy up in Greenville. You can reach him at the Fish and Wildlife office up there. Give him a buzz.
Yep, I know. Yeah. I know Tim, and I know where he is.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Yep. All right. Back to our topic here, the VZ Salmon Club. What else do you think our listeners should know about the VZ Salmon Club and the time we have left here? Melanie or Bob, either one of you.
Yeah, we have really no limits on people's interest. It's not just about salmon anymore, or Atlantic salmon. Someday the bell will ring again, and someday we all are going to work hard to get the salmon taken off the endangered species list. But that will be a long time coming. It has a lot of work ahead of it. But in the meantime, enjoy the outdoors. Enjoy the fishing for what is in the Penobscot River, the canoeing. People just don't know how good it's going to be eventually, and it's going to get better for shad and striped bass in the future in front of the VZ Club, the Penobscot Club, Eddington Club, all the way up to Old Town. Mm.
Okay, you are going to give away a membership, a free membership in the club, which is worth $50. And in the time remaining, if you have the answer to Melanie's question, she will give you a $50 membership in the VZ Salmon Club. Melanie, do you have the question?
Yes, I do. Where is the official high tide mark, otherwise known as the head of tide, on the Penobscot River?
All right, if you know the answer, it's 1-800
966-1039.
And if you have the right answer, and Melanie and Bob Wojcinek will judge the veracity of your answer. If you have the right answer, they're going to give you a $50 membership in the VZ Salmon Club. 2.5 minutes, okay. And we'll wait for the phones to ring. Anything else that you want to share with our listeners tonight before we wrap our show up tonight?
Well, we do have some needs, so we can bring that up. Things like, active members that would be interested in maintaining the Facebook page and some new tech stuff, web page set up, and then things like brush maintenance, serving on committees. We could use some donations in money donations as well as a large flat screen TV so we can do programming and show that as well. You could bring up a VHS tape or DVD tape, DVD and show that, watch that with your family. I'd like to make a comment about that many people love this club so much that they have had their ashes spread. And we don't know, who those people are even.
All right, that's great.
A lot of ashes.
All right, so you need people who are willing to work a little bit. That's good. Let's take a call right now. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Bob Wojcinek and Melanie Collins. Do you think you know the answer to her question?
Yeah. Would it be at the waterworks here above the hospital?
Waterworks above the hospital.
No, it's not. Good try. It used to be where the old Bangor Dam was before the Bangor Dam went out. That's a hint.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Do we have another caller standing by?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
Oh, Orono?
You say Orono?
Yeah.
Is that the right answer, Bob?
That's a good guess because dams did go out to Orono, but it's lower than that.
Okay. Getting close. You want to take another stab at it, caller?
I don't know what's above Orono. I forgot.
No, below, south of Orono.
Oh, Old Town.
No, south of Orono.
A good guess. Milford. Give you a hint. It has not changed in year, in ever.
Okay, thanks for the call. Nice try. One more call, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
You still there?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you think the answer is?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Joshua Chamberlain Bridge.
Joshua Chamberlain Bridge.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not the right answer.
No.
Oh, 10 seconds. Do we, no more callers, right?
The answer is the site of the old VZ Dam. The VZ Dam is now gone, but the rips there and so forth are still now the limitation on the head of tide.
How about this? Next week, we'll give away your VZ Club membership with our outdoor trivia question.
Okay.
Will you buy that?
Yes.
All right. That's great. Hey, good to have you folks with us here tonight. Did
great
a great job.
Here.
Good luck with the VZ Club. I can't wait to go to the first prime rib dinner.
All right.
All right. Next week, Greg Burr will be hosting the show. Bob and I will be fishing Grand Lake Stream.
Yeah, with the Woolly Buggers.
And with the Woolly Buggers. And we'll see you in 2 weeks on Maine Outdoors.